Hello, everybody. It's Miri again. And from the top, before Crabsworth comes in and says it, I'm a lazy asshole. This is raw and unfiltered. If a mistake gets made, you're going to hear it. Crabsworth would actually say it's because I'm a bitch. But yeah. So, anyway, this is me answering the questions directed towards me for the once, twice, three times a Christmas slash Hallmark project. Except I've brought in Crabsworth to ask me questions, mostly because Crabsworth and I both get kind of bored at the same time and we need to talk to people periodically. So, that's what we're doing right now. Say hi to the people.
Hi to the people. All right, ladies and germs, we're going to ask some questions here. Now, I want to start off by saying, hello, my name is Trapdoor Crabsworth. I'm brought on because Myri is a lazy bitch who can't do more than one voice at a time. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the Once, Twice, Three Times a Christmas collaboration, Postmortem Depression. Simply because what was going on in the States, where we were going to have a cast party and have a big AMA session. Unfortunately, what happened in the States completely derailed that. And while the situation hasn't gotten too much better, Myri thought to herself, well, let's do it anyway. So, with that said, hello, my name is Trapdoor Crabsworth, and with me, of course, is the great, talented, and powerful Myri Witch. Hello, Myri, how are you doing today?
What's up? No, I'm doing well.
Well, that is wonderful. I'm so happy to hear that. So, the first question that our wonderful viewers have for you is, what was it like working with the great, talented, and much more better than you at editing Eli on this?
Eli's fantastic. He's been doing script fills of mine for almost a year now, actually. He's the only one of the few VAs, actually, he might be the only VA who's crazy enough to take on the series that I write. So it kudos to him. I'm so happy he volunteered to do the editing for this. Simultaneously, I feel so guilty because like he is such a nice guy. He will not accept payment or anything like that from me. So I have no idea how to thank him in any way, shape, or form, other than to be like, you are an amazing person and being, and the world does not deserve you. Like, no, he will not let me thank him really in any way. He keeps saying it was my script and blah, blah, blah. And I'm kind of like, yeah, but I if we're gonna go by effort, that was probably the hardest part of all of this, just from a technical standpoint, because everybody's using different mics, everybody's got different acoustics, everybody's got different pacing. Like we didn't do a table read before this. We
No, of
didn't
course,
do
no.
like exercises or anything like that. Because there's no money in this, we have to do it around people's time. But
There was no team building whatsoever, is what you're saying.
exactly. But yeah, no, Eli will never let me say this to him, so I'll say it now, that he is immensely talented, far more talented than he thinks he is. He
It's true.
strives for this level of perfection, while still being accessible. And that's a very important combination, and to have that in one person is very rare. Usually you end up having that between a few people or a team or even just two people. It's hard to find that with the one person, but he's the whole package and he's fantastic and he's great to work with. So, and I am thankful every day that he keeps talking to me and seems to enjoy my work because God knows nobody else is going to deal with that insanity.
It's
Aside,
true.
I think it's like Eli and Crabsworth probably have the highest level of tolerance for the insanity of my ideas. So, and to hear like I said this before and I'll say it again, I can literally hate something I've written. Like, I would have written it to get an idea out of my head or a mood out of my head and released it into the world. And I can look at it and hate it beyond anything else, and think, this is the stupidest thing I've ever done. And then Eli fills it, and you're just like, fuck. Like, I wrote an entire series for him based on how he filled a throwaway comedy script, because he did it so well.
Oh, and it's actually happening?
It just ended, actually. But yeah, it happened. It's like, it's insane. And then he has agreed to fill the second part of that, which I'm not talking about because it's not published yet. But yeah, that's yeah. So he's awesome. Yeah. Essentially, working with Eli is great. You do have to realize, though, when he wants to put his head down and do work, it's alone. Yeah, you leave him alone. It's no contact. So, but yeah. I'm not going to argue with that. I think everybody has those moments, or at least I know you and I did. Like,
yeah.
Sorry, in case anybody didn't know, we've Crabsworth and I have worked with each other in various capacities. So, like, yeah. We both know when it's like, hey, we're put on the music. We're just going to motor through this. Like,
yeah. Everything you know is wrong. Perfect. Now let's
work. Yeah, let's do this.
So speaking of which, you've touched on this, but is there a method to the Miri madness?
There is, because I have done scripts that are inspired. Sometimes I don't remember the inspiration, and sometimes I do, and I'll list that in the posting. If I don't remember it, I do apologize. But yeah, I've always enjoyed like tropes and things and making things crazy. And I really enjoy thinking of like, how can I one up this? How do we go bigger? How do we go more? And I think Crabsworth is seeing that with, because Dr. J is actually improvised, which I don't think a lot of people may realize, is it is a fully, we have beats, but it is fully improvised. So, and I think that's what you're kind of realizing is like, I'm just like, nah, let's keep going. Let's go up. You keep raising the stakes because it's fun. Like that's the thing is, and it's also, there is an actual method to the madness. Like I have a method when I write, I do what I call mapping. It can outlining, whatever you want to call it, but I refer to it as mapping, major points. And in the case of a series like this, I actually do map out the sex acts because I get bored very quickly. I don't like writing the same thing all the time. And then I kind of just hammer it out because I know that I have an expiration date on how much effort I'm willing to put into something before it becomes boring. So that's like the method to the madness, I guess. But yeah, it's always, I like raising the stakes.
Yeah.
Like it's me.
So I guess the following question is, for this script, how long did it take you to write it or come up with the idea?
So the idea, ideas I have a habit of sitting with, and I'll sit with them for months at a time, chat about them, think about them, ponder. So all my prep work, all my pre-work is kind of done over the course of a few months. Not like every day, not 9-to-5 type thing, not like an 8-hour type thing, but just thinking of ideas. And then something happens and I sit down and I start mapping, and that's where I fill in the holes. Sometimes literally. It's writing time and fleshing it out. I do have a tendency to write start to finish, just because I'll remember things that way. And I can spot kind of as I'm going, I'll be like, oh, I should take this point and put it here so I can do a callback to it later and things like that.
Yeah.
Because I prefer reviewing my work by hearing it, I usually don't go back to do edits unless we're talking about a series that's being filled over time. And I know it's being filled over time, because then I'll, as I'm listening, I'll kind of go read and adjust some things, because I'll realize that something was a bigger point, something was a bigger plot point than I originally thought. So my favorite way of reviewing my work is to listen to it. But yeah, so after the percolation, after mapping it, I sat down to write it. That was probably 40 hours around there. And then bits of editing here and there, some adjustments. Like I was concerned about Taylor, just because I was newer to writing a trans character. So getting advice on that and making sure that it flowed well and that it was respectful.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, no, it's a, to actually do the writing was about 40 hours. And then you're looking at, I can't really estimate the time of like the percolating and the decisions and like the just letting it flow, because it happened gradually over the course of several months. So that's the flat rate price right there. That's the flat rate.
Yeah. Well, didn't you like first have like inklings of doing this? I remember us having conversations in like March or April last year.
Yeah, no, totally. Yeah. Like it was something that I was like hanging on to, trying to decide like that's all my, I have to talk about something to work through my ideas. Which you're seeing right now, I'm talking to work through what my answer is.
Yeah.
So yeah. So next question.
Okay, now this is a hard question, especially for me, because I clearly don't know the answer to any of this. Would you ever consider doing more audio stuff or just script writing? And more importantly, do you plan on voicing more, maybe fill a script of yours, you know, that sort of thing? Have you ever done that?
I enjoy the voice acting. I really do. Yeah. I think the question is if I would start doing not safe for work stuff.
Oh!
And, no. Sorry to, like, burst anyone's bubble there.
Darn it all.
I know, right?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
This is totally the voice you want to hear erotically. Oh my God.
Oh my God. Let me rub your shoulder sensually.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
You're so muscular.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Your shoulders are so stringy. So I guess, do you enjoy voicing a character you created, and would you play more characters in the future?
I'm currently voicing Catherine.
Really?
Yeah. And
I never do that.
I know. We've mentioned it like 5 trillion friggin' times, right?
Yeah.
But like I'll voice characters. I just like, yeah. I need them to be non-erotic. Yeah. Like swearing's fine. Yeah. Clearly.
Yeah. Swearing's fine. Alcoholism is fine. But when we get into explicit acts.
Yeah, that's where I'm drawing the line there.
That's where you draw the line.
And I think it probably also comes from a place of like, yeah, no. Like, listen to my voice. This is not the voice you want to hear. Let's be honest. And I'm just gonna like do weird shit. Like, oh my God. Oh my God, take off your pants. Oh my God. That's what's going to end up happening. And nobody wants to hear that.
You know what? Actually, there's probably a subreddit that would love stuff like that. I'm just saying.
Oh my god. You know what? There. If I ever do an audio that's meant for like Gone Wild Audio or a subreddit like that, it's going to be myself and Crabsworth just saying, "Oh my god," repeatedly. That's what it's gonna be.
Oh my god. But like, you know, we've got to give them something special, like different connotations.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Oh my god. Oh my god. So here's one. You know that Hallmark movies always have to have a bad guy. But was Peter always meant to be that evil? Or did you want to ham him up by making him so irredeemable that nobody could like him? Love Peter Fan 469.
So Peter, it was voiced very appreciatively by Tom, who is one of the busiest, I'd say, of the not safe for work voice actor guild. And he very, like, I was very pleased he could come on, even if, like, I offered him a smaller part because I was like, I know you're busy, you've got all this stuff on your plate right now, but it'd be really nice if you did this character. So Peter was not written with a specific VA in mind at all, written to be a character first. And yeah, he is meant to be a villain. There's some things alluded to in what he says and in what Oliver says about him. He's based on people that I've met in life where everything is about them, and the person that they're with has to allow them to be themselves, even if it is a detriment to that person's being. And nothing that person ever does is going to be good enough, because that's what happens when you're with a narcissist. Irredeemable, I don't know. I've contemplated doing a spinoff with Peter, but I'm not sure. I don't know, because I know the expectation would be for Tom to do that, and again, he's incredibly busy, like very busy, so I don't want to put pressure on him that way. But yes, Peter was written as he is the bad guy, the villain, quote unquote, if you will. And What I do like is to have that question in people's minds of whether or not he is, because again, that's what happens when you're around somebody who's a narcissist. And yeah. Peter was written to be that. Peter was an allusion to like a couple people I've known and even one roommate I've had, where it depends on what side you're on, what side you get. Irredeemable, I don't know, like people can change, so that's not to say he's irredeemable, it's just to say that in that situation, in that story, he's the villain.
So you mentioned that Peter was developed without a specific VA in mind. Were any characters that you developed have a specific VA in mind?
One did.
And which character was that?
I can say it because the person filled it, who I wanted it to, Oliver. Oliver was written with Bye Boy in mind. Like, I won't even lie about that. I won't even mask that. Oliver was fully written with Bye Boy in mind, and I was so happy he agreed to voice him. So, so happy, because he was the one person where I was like, I really want you to voice this character, because it was written for him. And he's I have to say one thing about Bye Boy. He is literally the nicest VA on GWA, like the sweetest person. Like, if Eli is like this top level, like talent and all around good person, take that and convert it to sweetness and sweet. And that's Bye Boy. Bye Boy is just, he is a sugar cookie wrapped up in fondant. He's that sweet.
Well, it's good to know. I was not in mind for anything. That hurts me.
When I finished writing Howard, then I was like, this is Crabsworth. It was so this is the thing. Because that was the only one character while I was writing it, I had a person in mind. When I was done writing it,
yeah.
I know Koala, who played Octavia, and Bunny, who played Livia. I heard they did a script fill. Each of them did a separate script fill of one of my scripts. And I heard the first line of each of those fills, and I was like, that's Octavia, that's Olivia. Boom. Like that's who's playing them. Like that's it. I'm trying to think. Hunt took a risk doing Liam, and I'm very happy he did. I wanted him to do that, but I also knew that like he hadn't done a character like that before, or if he had, only like once. So I didn't know if he would gravitate to it, but he did. So I was happy about that. I was very happy Eli took on Jonathan, because I thought that was a really good play. Then Taylor was actually the hardest to find, and I was so happy when I found them. And that actually came from a friend of a friend, passed them my way, and I was just like, I need them to take this role. I need them to take this role. I'm trying to think. Helen is the leftover character, because Peter, I had, I think I had like two people in mind after I finished writing it, and I was very happy Tom took it, because Tom's solid and can do anything. But it wasn't written with him in mind. It was afterwards. I was like, Tom can handle this. Helen is the only one where that was a leftover. The person who did, like, I finished Howard and I was like, Crabsworth can turn this into something. Helen was the leftover, was absolutely, I was like, who the hell is going to voice this? It's a safe for work female character. It's a mom. It's a mom who is older, which is, let's admit it, it's harder to find. It's definitely harder to find.
Yeah.
And I was like, who's going to do this? And then Eli's like, I think you should play Helen. I'm like, why should I play? I wrote this. I shouldn't be in it. He's like, no, you should be in it. I think you should play Helen. And I was like, no, we've got to have somebody. And he's like, no, we're not going to find anybody. You should play Helen. And he just, he kept saying that, because he was the one who helped me cast the whole thing. And he kept saying that. And so eventually I was like, it's November. We need this done. We got to get this done. So there's enough time to edit it, because I'm not going to do something for myself. But when I know somebody else is on the line, like Eli having enough time to edit, I was like, okay, cool. Then I'm doing it. I'll do it. So Helen is the character that was a total leftover. It was total. Like, who the
hell? I can't find anybody. Oh my God. I'm married to that.
That's exactly, and that is how Helen was voiced by me, was because who the fuck are we gonna get? Well, I'm here.
So I guess like they already know one, but there were two characters that were not played by VAs on your Reddit. Who are they?
So one of them is Santa. I don't know why everybody thinks it wasn't Santa. We got Santa. It was Santa. So yeah. I don't know what to tell you. We got connections and we got Santa. So, and then the other one was Crabsworth. who I don't think has any intention of joining the subreddit at all, unless it's to do like a shit post or something of like the sex guy saying more words. I think other than that, he's not going to be on there. If you want to catch him, you've got to catch him on Final Cut and shit like that. That's where Final Cut, find
Death Pixie, Dr. J, Self-Help. That's where you got to find me.
He's a voice. What was it? You did the voice of like a grandfather character in a game.
Oh, God. No. So it's actually an upcoming. It's a webcomic.
Webcomic. I'm sorry.
But it is Professor Fearwood with a special broadcast. And so it's a comic called Paranormal Patrollers. It's coming out hopefully sometime in 2021. They actually had to push back the date because of what happened in the States. One of the artists was unavailable, so they pushed back the date. So I don't know when it's coming out now, but if we do go into webcomic and animation, you're hearing the voice of Phil Woods. I think this next one is actually really prudent, and because it's something that I know you and I both face, because let's be honest, we talk about projects at work when we can, but how do you deal with work and balancing the script and all that?
Oh my God. Like balancing work and script and life and everything like that. Oh, for fuck's sake.
You put this here. Like,
Jesus Christ. I forgot what the questions were. So this is what's fun for me. Balancing. God damn it. A bit on my background, I've always been hobby project heavy. Like that's how I've been. That's how I've grown up, is just always having something. Creativity is very important. Creativity is very vital to my being. As I know Crabsworth will attest to, because I think that's something you discovered this last year as well.
Yes, absolutely.
In terms of productivity and deadlines when it comes to scripts, my goal is always once a week. Once a week, I want to produce something. I want to just sit down and get something out of my head. So that offers me a lot of flexibility, especially because writing in the script medium, it is a lot faster than writing prose. So I'm able to do that around work. I also have the advantage of I have other hobbies and make costumes and stuff, but I can do writing from anywhere. It's not a lot for me to transcribe something if I have to write on paper. It's not a lot for me to write something in one place on one device and send it over and then reformat it. It's not that much to me. So I can get a lot done in little spaces of time that I have. But sometimes you have to take a break. Like, I wasn't writing in January at all. I feel comfortable saying that. Like, I finished Hallmark, finished Dentist, finished, as far as writing is concerned, is finished. I had a couple little posts here and there. Stuff was ramping up. At work, because that's the December, I do believe, is the end of a quarter, if I'm remembering.
The
end of a quarter. So stuff's ramping up there. And then no matter what you celebrate, December is always a big celebration time for everybody. So you've got all of that. So January came around and I was very depleted. So, which is why I have multiple hobbies, because I need them. But sometimes you're depleted in one hobby area, you need to replenish from another one. So yeah, no, in terms of balancing it, it's I kind of figure it works for me, but the big thing that I have to recognize is when I have an impetus to be creative, I have to grab it and do it.
Yeah.
I can't, to a point I can schedule it in the sense of like, I scribbled all this down. I want to sit down, work through it, clean it up. That I can schedule. But as far as just putting it out there, when inspiration strikes, I've got to do it or let it pass by and wait for it to come back again, because otherwise it's work. Like you're beating a dead horse type.
Yeah, thing. Absolutely.
I think you know exactly what I'm talking about.
No, I know exactly what you're talking about. That's why, like, just so everybody knows who may listen to this, Dr. J's self-help is something that Miri and I do that's safe for work. And, you know, we never map anything out really for Dr. J's self-help, except for like the odd beat or so. Everything else is like off the cuff and improvised. The shows that we've been doing over the past couple of weeks were like, oh crap, we are going to be making an arc for this. I would jot stuff down, and because Mary's in a position where she works from home, like the lucky, precious, wonderful person she is.
I think everyone needs to do it, if I'm perfectly honest. That's what I want to push for in the new year. Everybody.
she's got 2 minutes free that she can go onto Google, pop it on a Google Doc. And that way, you know, we have it for when we actually have time to, as Mary said, clean everything up. So yeah, absolutely. So you've kind of already alluded to this one, and I want to just do it for the sake of completion's sake, because you kind of already touched on it. But what is one thing you learned about yourself as a creative after finishing the Hallmark special Once, Twice, Three Times Christmas?
The big thing that I was most concerned with on this project was the fact that, I don't know if you know this, but for the erotic voice acting, script acting thing, it is assumed that there is a silent listener that's being spoken to.
Yeah.
So it's one person talking and then holding for a response from that silent listener and then continuing to talk. So this, obviously, there is no silent listener. It's dialogue going back and forth. It's multiple characters. And all of that means nobody can sound the same. Everybody has to have their own personality. Because you can tell somebody to just like, do it yourself. You can do it, blah, blah, blah. But they got to have something to work with. And that's what the script is. So to actually have been able to successfully make characters sound different was a really big thing for me. The idea that I can handle a larger writing project, was a big deal for me. And I think also being able to, well, this is going to sound so egotistical. I think I want to be like, oh, and I learned how to do casting, blah, blah, blah. No, I've always, it's pretty easy to recognize when people suit something and when they don't, when you're forcing it. There's always going to be a feeling where you know, or at least for me, where you know in the back of your head, you're forcing a square peg into a round hole, or where you're just, this could work. I want to see it work. So yeah, like that's being able to handle the bigger projects and being able to actually write multiple characters was a big thing. Now I just have to get over the hump to writing like a novella.
Over the hump, you say?
Over the hump.
So I have to ask this is not in the list of approved questions, But is a novella the next step for you?
Yes, it is.
You are planning to write a novella?
Yes.
Are you going to keep this within the actual cut of the interview?
Yeah.
So I forced you to actually reveal something because you're too lazy to edit it?
Yeah, you did. Are you happy with yourself right now?
I'm actually very happy with myself right now, if I could be totally honest. So now I can go to the final question here. And that question is something that I am free to ask because I am not part of the subreddit. So, ha! Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we are going to have a fist fight. In one corner, it's going to be the one, the only, the erotic writer who makes your heart go pitter patter, pitter patter, pitter patter. What the hell is that? Pitter patter, pitter patter, pitter patter. Mary Witch! And in your other corner, it's going to be the person of Mary Witch's choice who she thinks she can take down in a fist fight. We just need to know, who's that person going to be?
No offense, but I think I can take Eli in a fist fight.
Mari versus Eli, book your tickets now. Seriously, we should start a Patreon. Mari versus Eli, one night only.
You just had to mention Patreon. I wanted to get through this without mentioning that.
Oh, really? You wanted to get through this without mentioning that? Why did you not want me to mention Patreon?
Because that might be what the March plan is, and I might be writing a book on there.
Oh, breaking news! Now, I do have to ask this. Is the March stretch goal? Well, let's just say stretch goal for Patreon. Mari versus Eli, one night only, fist fight.
I mean, well, it has to wait until after lockdown because I'm in Canada and Eli is south of the border.
Details. So you're saying you can take this guy in a fist fight, but you're not going to prove it.
Well, can we smuggle him into the country? Can we smuggle him?
Hey, you know, you don't have to, when you're doing a Patreon, you don't actually have to have a delivery date at the same time as when your product is for a stretch goal, now do you?
No, this is true. Which reminds me, we should talk about your stretch goal.
My stretch goal? Which stretch goal was that?
Well, I was going to say getting you an off-road Segway so you can get around town properly, but the real one is the seed money needed for a certain free VHS style game you want to make.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I don't know how we would make that, but so I don't know if any of you have ever played Atmosphere or Atmosphere of the Harbingers. But it is so freaking campy as hell. And if you've listened to my interview, you know I'm a campy ass bastard. So basically, Atmosphere of the Harbingers, the best way I can describe it is it's sort of like the game of life, except once every minute or 2 minutes, you have a VHS style person who is playing against you. Who will stop the action entirely and completely change the game by being a campy asshole. Atmosphere of the Harbingers, if you ever want to look at that, you know, go ahead and do it. Just for the laughs and how much fun, clearly the actor who played the gatekeeper clearly had making it. But I thought to myself, why not do that, but have the gatekeeper as the Joker? And so, you know, if I were going to start a Patreon, that is what it'd be for. But needless to say, this isn't my interview. This is yours. So I'm just going to say, please support Miri on Patreon whenever she does get to the Patreon, so we can all see her her novella erotica. I don't know what that's going to be, but congratulations to everyone. You now know she is writing a novella. She is making a Patreon. She is trying to make it as a writer. And everyone's going to be so happy with her.
Oh my God. Well, hopefully everybody's happy with it.
I have to tell you, as your friend, just to see your face swell up with pure embarrassment that I got you to reveal the novella and the Patreon, is nothing but a sheer amount of joy for me. But as this isn't my interview, this is yours. Are there any last words, final thoughts you want to say to your fans?
Well, to my ones of fans, because I know there are ones of you. Thank you so much. It's so appreciated that there are people who like my wackadoodle ideas and want to hear about how I do those wackadoodle ideas. And yeah, any excuse, as I think your people are starting to notice, Crabsworth and I enjoy talking with each other. So, yeah. You know. Any excuse to get together and let other people know that we're crazy.
This is true.
So, bye, everybody. Thank you.
Yeah.
Bye. Say goodbye, Crabsworth.
Goodbye, Crabsworth.